Blog Talk Radio.
Regulators. You regulate any stealing of his property. We're damn good, too. But you can't be any geek off the street. You gotta be handy with the steal, if you know what I mean. Earn your keep.
Regulators! Mount up.
That's right, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome to another episode of the Betting Window on the Nerd Report Network. I am your host, Effin Ronnie, and with me, as always,
Extremely tired, but still here, Zombie Master.
Suncock will be joining us very shortly. Christian will be on, hopefully, and it might just be us four. No Kevin tonight for baseball. He had something else come up, so it is going to just be a normal show with our baseball predictions as well, because opening day is tomorrow, except for the Mets. It's on Friday.
Yeah, it's Friday, 1:40.
Because, you know, no, we couldn't afford an attractable roof.
Yeah, with all the money that owner has, more money than God, you can't afford to put a roof on Citi Field.
So actually, it's funny that you say that, because they found out how much it would actually come out to.
How much?
It would be like an extra $500 million.
Well, doesn't he carry that in his wallet?
Yeah, but that should have been, honest to God, that should have been something that gets built, like, when they start building.
You would think, but, you know, it can't be an opening day without the Mets getting rained out. I think the last three years, opening day has been rained out.
2018 was the last time they opened regular at home on a regular game.
And then every other year it's been rained out.
Or COVID or...
snowed out, COVID out, rain out.
Because 2020 was COVID. 2021 was COVID.
2022 was rain.
Rain, and then
2023 was rain.
Yeah.
And then 2024, as predicted.
2023 was the lockout. Or 2022 was the lockout.
Was it the lockout?
Yeah, because they pushed the series back.
But they didn't have their opening day on time like they were supposed to have it.
Technically, at that point, nobody did.
But when they did announce it, they still got rained out.
No, they were on the road. They started on the road.
No, I'm talking about their home opener always seems to get fucking rained out.
Last legit home opener was 2018.
Yeah. But so now all the Boris clients are finally signed.
Yeah.
Montgomery finally found his home.
With the Arizona Diamondbacks.
Yeah, and 1 year, $25 million.
With a
with an option.
Well, no. So he can earn up to $35 million this year if he pitches. If he has 20 starts, he gets $35 million.
Well, we'll see if they can actually pull that off. I doubt it.
Well, no, but that's the thing. Like, he gets, for 10 starts, he'll get 15. Like, he has in his
contract
to where how many starts he gets a bump.
And the Yankees made a trade today. I don't know if you heard that. John Birdie. They got infielder John Birdie from the Florida Marlins in a three-team swap.
Who'd they give up, though?
I'll pull it up and I'll let you know. Let's see. It happened about 2.5 hours ago. John. Uh, Let's see. The other person, okay. So the other three, the Yankees will ship Ben Rovervet to the Rays, and while shipping John Cruz, the Yankees' number 28 prospect, to the Miami, the Rays will outfielder prospect Shane Shosky is going to the Marlins. So,
okay.
So I mean, they didn't give up. I mean, Ben Roosevelt or whatever the hell his name was, they got him in a trade a couple of years ago. He wasn't really. I think he started like maybe 5 or 10 games last year.
They didn't give up much.
They didn't give up anything. I mean, Birdie is. I'm thankful of one thing. He was a Met killer.
He just
says he's an infielder. I mean, he does play
because they need a third baseman right now. They can't have Cabrera.
He plays third. He plays short. He plays second. He can play all the infield. I don't think he's played first. I don't think. I know he can play a majority of the infield positions. So I mean, he's going to be a utility guy plus.
Yeah.
So I mean, he's technically, it says shortstop, but I'm assuming a third base isn't that much of a stretch.
He can go to third because they're going to need a third baseman to start because I don't think they want to start the season with Cabrera at third.
He's 34 years old, but you know his line from last year was 133 games, 388 at bats, 53 runs, 114 hits. 16 doubles, 3 triples, 7 home runs, 33 ribeyes. Average of .294, OBP of .344, slugging of .405, and OPS of .749. So, I mean, he's not a bad player, but every time the Mets played the Marlins, he killed us every fucking time. Like, if it was a late-inning game, he'd find a way to sneak in a run. I don't know how he did it. But thank God he's a Yankee now, not a fucking Marlin anymore, because he was a pain in our ass. So, he's a Yankee now.
So, all right. So, this is sad. The Giants, I guess, they didn't like what they saw from Sandoval, so they officially are not putting him on the main roster, obviously.
So he's going to retire?
Nope. There is a negotiation for him possibly to go to AAA, though.
Does he really want to go to AAA, though?
He said in an article from the Associated Press that he would accept the offer from the Giants AAA affiliate if given the opportunity.
Good for him.
I mean,
I don't see him having much left in the tank.
Listen, we said that we say that about Robinson Cano, and he just murdered a fucking baseball off of the Yankees.
Fuck that steroid freak. At least the Mets aren't fucking paying his dumb ass anymore.
Did you see that game?
I heard about it. I didn't see it, but I heard about it.
He freaking bombed a 400-footer off of I'm like, yeah, that's not. If you're the Yankees, you're not happy about that.
You know, when a 41-year-old who can't make it into major leagues anymore hits a 400-something foot bomb off you, I think you'd be a little pissed off.
And then get set down, and only get five hits off of Trevor. Oh, I thought he had no stuff, Bauer.
Look, I'll.
Not you. I'm saying other people. Other people.
I was going to say, I never said the motherfucker didn't have it. I just don't like him as a person. That's the only reason I say it.
No. I'm saying other people say that he doesn't have it. I'm like, oh, yeah, he went 3 innings, 5 hits, 4 Ks. No earned with 1 walk. Yeah, I think that's a good fucking line.
Oh, he'll get signed by mid-season by somebody.
Someone will get hurt.
With our luck, it'll be a fucking Mets starter, and the Mets will sign him, and I'll be like, oh, great. That's one less start I have to watch.
And hello, Ryan.
Hola, mis amigos.
We were mentioning the Yankees made a trade today.
Oh, good stuff.
Yeah, a minor trade. 3 players, 3-team swap.
The fuck?
What?
So, we'll go back to baseball a little bit. This just broke about 9 hours ago. You know the company, the Big Three, that's founded by Ice Cube?
I have no idea what that is, but go ahead.
Brian, you know about this? He is away from his microphone.
Yeah, sorry, I had to plug my computer in. It's a clusterfuck right here. Give me a second.
Do you want to rephrase that?
What?
I had to plug my computer in?
Yeah.
So are you on your phone or are you on your computer?
I'm on my computer.
How are you talking to us on your computer if you had to plug your computer in?
Getting low. No. Okay.
So that's not your computer, that's your laptop.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Fucking semantics, Ronnie. Fucking semantics.
Canadians are weird.
I had to plug in my laptop.
I just wanted to see if you would play along with that. So, the Big Three is a 3-on-3 basketball league run by Ice Cube. So, everyone knows of Caitlin Clark. So,
yeah.
Apparently, the Big Three decided to make Caitlin Clark an offer to forego the WNBA and come play for the Big Three with an offer of $5 million a year.
Wow.
So, today was a good day.
No, she never said she was taking it. Because she might still want to go to the WNBA, but Ice Cube wrote, we offered, we intend to make an offer, remain private while Caitlin Clark is playing for championships, but I won't deny that it's already out there. The Big Three made an historic offer to Caitlin Clark. Why wouldn't we? Caitlin is a generational talent that would be great for the Big Three. And it was $5 million for 8 games. Or a total of 10 games to play and get paid $5 million in the summer.
Damn.
That's about, she wouldn't make $5 million in the WNBA just on the contracts.
Nobody got that good day joke, huh?
Oh, no, we got the joke. She's like Shaq, though. She's making all her money in college. Ryan, what do you think about this?
I think that's a shit ton of money.
$5 million to play possibly just 10 games. John, what do you think about this?
Hey, the games are what, an hour?
At most three.
So, $1.5 million every other game. That's not bad. For not a lot of work. Because the way she, from what I've heard, from what you guys are saying, she makes it, when she plays, she makes it seem flawless anyway, so.
She's the Steph Curry of women's basketball.
So, she basically makes it look easy, so fuck it. Why not?
It's insane. I mean, to offer her that much money. It's crazy.
So Ice Cube is weird.
I mean, it's Ice Cube.
Oops.
So, all right, back to baseball news. The Dodgers made another signing.
Which bookie did they sign this week?
Well, they re-signed a player for an extension. Will Smith. 10 years, $140 million extension.
That's the catcher, right?
I know. Keep my wife's name out your goddamn fucking mouth, right?
Right. Imagine what happens whenever a fucking batter says that to him. It's all fucking geared up and all over it against him.
So here we go. So the signing bonus is $30 million, and then he's going to get between 24 and 27, $13 million. From 28 to 33, 9.5. And then he's deferred $5 million per season for the next 10 years between 2034 and 2043.
So he's going to be the new Bobby Bonilla.
The new Shohei Ohtani.
Stop making these jokes because everyone's deferring this fucking money. There has to be something illegal about this shit.
Yeah, the Mets did that with J.D. Martinez.
Yeah, but Martinez is one of those things where it's like, I mean, he's not getting that, like, they're deferring not a lot of money. Granted, okay, $5 million over 10 years, that's great that they're deferring it, but, like, this is now turning into a loophole where they don't have, this is not part of the fucking luxury tax now.
Hey, if it was illegal, they wouldn't be able to do it.
Well, everyone saw what they did to Shohei, and...
Well, Shohei, not everybody's Shohei, and, well, right now, does anybody really want to be Shohei right now?
I mean, there's a whole lot of questions with that.
Now he's saying that the money was stolen. It seems like every other week that story fucking changes. Now he's saying the guy stole the money from him.
Well, that answer is, all right, well, how did he get your account?
That's what I'm saying. I just, something's not smelling right somewhere.
If it's something as simple as, hey, he asked you for $4.5 million to cover a gambling debt, just say that.
Because right now he's making himself seem very fucking sketchy and very fucking guilty.
Well, he's making himself seem like he bet on sports.
Yeah, well, and if that comes out, then it's just saying, it's
now,
just not that much of a stretch to say, if he claims, oh, I never bet on baseball, well, how do we know? You've lied about everything
else.
Well,
that's the only thing that's legit out of everything. Even the interpreter, everyone has been saying there was no betting on baseball. But if he bet on any other sport, if Shohei did, it's still a one-year suspension.
Without pay.
Yeah. But I'm going to bring it back to our favorite person to talk about on this show. When Trevor Bauer got this whole thing, they suspended him pending an investigation. Why haven't you done that with Shohei yet?
I've said it before, and I'll say it again, and I don't think you guys will disagree with it. Ohtani's the golden child of baseball. Trevor Bauer wasn't.
Roy, what do you think? And he's away from his computer.
No, I'm right here. I'm having allergies.
Oh, that's why you're far away from your microphone.
Correct.
So what are your thoughts on this?
I agree, man. Like, they need to stop with the deferred payment. I think they found a loophole, and it's only legal until they figure it out.
Well, what about the Ohtani thing?
If he was having the dude play his bets, then yeah, we got a problem. Then treat him just like he did the fucking White Sox and fucking Pete Rose and Ben and Kawhi.
Yep.
Well, that's not the rule now. So the rule is now that if he bet on any sport, it's a one-year suspension. If he bet on baseball, he's banned for life.
Do you really think they're going to ban the guy that's going to bring in so much fucking money to the league?
That you have no choice.
If they don't, then Rose has a fucking reason to get in the Hall of Fame, and I'm sorry, Pete Rose getting in the Hall of Fame is going to bring in just as much money as Shohei or not.
And that's what
Damn
I was just
right.
about to say.
Damn
and that's
right.
what I was. And that's what I was just about to say. If you don't ban him from baseball, if he did bet on baseball, which according to every account, no one bet on baseball. It was other sports. So.
Or so they're saying.
Well, that's what the Dodgers are saying. That is what the interpreter is saying.
Do you really think they're going to come out and say, yeah, he did bet on baseball? You really think they're going
to
do that?
That's what the bookie is saying. What does the bookie have to lose? Except he's already going to jail for putting together an illegal book.
But I'm just saying, do you really think Ohtani's going to come out and say, yes, I bet on baseball, you know, I did bet on a game or two here and there?
No.
Do you really think he's going to come out and say it? Come
on. But the bookie is coming out and saying that none of them bet on baseball.
The bookie's doing it just to get his name out there, but I'm just saying.
If the hold on. What does the bookie have to lose?
Nothing. He's going to jail anyway.
So then why would he cover up? Something if he...
I'm not saying the bookie covering up. I'm saying Ohtani's.
No,
you really
saying...
think Ohtani, the Dodgers, you really think they're all going to come out and say, yeah, he bet on a few games here and there. You really think you're going to do that? They're not stupid. They know it's going to... They know what's going to happen. The second it does, he's going to be Pete Rose.
No, he's not, first off.
If it was baseball, yes. You just said it.
But the book... Oh, my God. What I said was the bookie has already come out under oath and said that whoever was making these bets, Ohtani or the interpreter, no one bet on baseball. It was college football, NFL, basketball, soccer. No one bet on baseball. That is from the bookie's mouth under oath because he's trying to cover his ass for some jail, for lesser jail time. So again, what does he have to lose? And hello, Christian.
What's up?
Talking about Shohei.
Oh, who gives a fuck?
Shohei the bets.
Oh, who cares?
That's a terrible show me the money joke.
Oh, well, it's not as bad as the picture where it says, Shohei the Ohtani bets. Where there's both in the on-deck circle and you have their Ohtani bets.
Yeah.
Or the Pete Rose joke, he goes, Pete Rose is upset he didn't have an interpreter back then.
Well, Pete Rose already has officially filed for reinstatement.
And he'll get denied, too, because Commissioner Buttfuck don't want to have anything to do with him.
But the thing is, though, is now here's the question, and it all spins from this. If we find out there was some, like I said, the bookie has come out and said under oath that Ohtani's interpreter, as we're saying right now, Ohtani's interpreter did not bet on baseball, did not put any bets in on baseball. So if it is, even if they nick him, it's going to be for at least only a year.
I'm just going to say this one last thing, and you guys could say what you want on that. So we're going to take the testimony of a bookmaker who does illegal shit anyway that probably lies under oath left, right, forwards, and backwards anyway, that you don't think maybe Ohtani got to him and said, I'll give you some hush money, say I never did it. We're going to take the word of a criminal element, a bookie. We're going to take him at his word. Just saying.
If it's under oath.
Oh, like criminals don't lie under oath.
Then you're talking about federal perjury. First off, we're also talking about wire fraud here with Shohei Ohtani.
Right.
Let's gloss over the fucking bets. We're talking about IRS fraud, federal wiretapping. He's in a lot more deeper shit than just possibly being kicked out of baseball. When allegedly whoever sent the money over, the bookie said to send it as a loan. Well, you need to put that loan in under the IRS. Never did. That's fraud. Like, that's the thing.
As far as I'm concerned, it just, you know what? This is like this. Something just isn't smelling right with this whole situation. And the fact that a legit, you know, granted he fucked up, but a bona fide legend and rightful Hall of Famer sitting on the sidelines. And all this is, and they're going to probably slap him on the wrist all over the place because of who his name is and what he brings into the fucking game money-wise. That's a travesty, man. It's a fucking travesty. That's all I'm going to say on that.
I'm going to ask one other thing. Is any of the Black Sox in the Hall of Fame?
None of them are fucking alive anyway to fight it.
Hey, that's not what I'm asking. Is any of them in the Hall of Fame?
I don't know. I don't know every player. The only one I know is Shoeless Joe Jackson. I know he's not.
None of them are in the Hall of Fame because they shaved points in a World Series game. Pete Rose, as much as he bet on sports, he bet on baseball. Even if it was his team, he bet on baseball. Does it suck? Should he be in? Yes, because he's a great player. But he bet on the sport he played. Shohei Ohtani right now is not accused of betting on the sport he plays. If he is, kick his ass out. Plain and simple.
I'm not going to disagree with you on that at all.
But no, well, but that's why the Pete Rose argument, he bet on his sport. He's not going to the Hall of Fame because he bet on his sport. Even though it was on his team, it was still in his sport. But that's the brick wall that no one seems to understand.
No, I understand it. I understand it completely, and I understand it 100%. But all I'm saying is, granted, what I'm saying is Pete Rose did something stupid. Yes, I'm not going to sit here and argue the fact that he didn't do something stupid. It was stupid. But I'm just saying it's like they're going to – Ohtani's, regardless of whatever comes out, yay, nay, against or for, he's still going to – you know, his name's still going to be dragged through the mud. He's going to get a slap on the wrist. Baseball is not going to do a fucking thing to him because he's the golden – he's the golden goose that laid the golden fucking egg of baseball right now. Nobody's going to do shit to him. That's all I'm saying.
If it comes out that he bet on baseball, not bet on baseball, he bet on, if he's the one that bet on sports, he'd be a year. That's a year suspension under Manfred's guidelines.
Yep.
I'm sorry. I don't buy it. Not when it comes to Ohtani with the amount of money he brings in. I doubt it.
Here's the other thing, and I'm going to say this too. Why would it matter this year? He's got fucking a bad wing. So he's going to DH. If he loses a year, who cares? The Dodgers weren't expect, as much as they overloaded it, the Dodgers were not expecting him to be 100% this year. He goes away for a year and comes back at 100% health. It's just that's the thing.
I get it. I've said my piece on it. If you guys want to discuss it, I've said my piece on it.
Brian, you got anything?
Yeah, so we're not going to deny that Ohtani is a draw for baseball.
Yes.
Okay. At the same time, he's got these allegations. There's an investigation. I'm going to reserve my final judgment on it until we start to see the facts of that. But the fact that his bookkeeper, who... honestly, he's got nothing to gain or lose. Jail either way.
Yep, for illegal gambling.
Right. He's going to jail either way. Adding perjury, taking it from whatever type of felony he's got to a federal level is fucking
stupid.
It's ludicrous. That idea is asinine. The guy's got nothing to gain or lose.
Actually, he actually might have something to gain because if he gives them certain things about certain people, he might lose jail time.
Doubt it,
but I mean, you never know. You find.
And I say I doubt it because he's tied to a high-profile app. So, I mean, could it be a possibility? Sure. But we have no proof of anything.
No, we're just speculating.
And to assume that he fucking paid hush money to a bookie for testimony is really far out there, man.
I respect the fact that you, and I respect, you know, I respect you about that. That's your thoughts on it. That's fine. I wouldn't get upset about it. I'm not going to. To me, it's just, I mean, I've seen dozens of court cases, you know, that have played out in real life where somebody lied during testimony. Is it, or let me ask you this, is it far-fetched for a guy who does what he does to lie?
No, but also at the same time, what he does really shouldn't have a bearing.
Fair point.
Like it has so little to do with it. You know, he's looking at jail time either, or is he looking at federal time? Because perjury will get you federal time.
Fair point. You're correct.
Wait until we get all the facts.
Right. And I mean, that's the thing. It's we need all the facts, but I mean, looking at it from right now, from inside out, him coming out and saying, hey, there was no bets that I took that was on baseball. And he thought he was. And also the other thing is too, is,
and that could be the thing. It could be that they, if they did bet on baseball, they didn't bet with that bookie.
Yeah, we're just going off of this one bookie. Because he even came out and said that he thinks that he thought that the guy that he was taking bets from was Ohtani, not his interpreter. Christian, you've been quiet on this. You got any thoughts?
Not really, because I haven't really been following it. To be honest, I've been kind of out the loop the last couple of days. I had to go to the dentist today because I've been struggling with some really bad tooth pain the last 3 days, and thankfully the dentist was able to squeeze me in. My gum was a little swollen on the upper left-hand side, so it's really been tough to talk and even eat and chew. So she had to numb me, and she had to just, like, clean that area back there. I have a special type of mouthwash I got to use. So I've been kind of out the loop with what's been going on, to be honest with you. So if one of you want to explain it to me in layman's terms.
Ronnie, that's all you.
Yeah, so Shohei is in hot water because allegedly his interpreter who got fired was caught making alleged bets with a bookie in Los Angeles of the end. They found wire transfers that are close to $4.5 million debt for the bookie or for the interpreter.
Oh, the league ain't doing nothing to that Golden Child.
Well, that's the thing. Right now, there is nothing because Shohei, the only thing Shohei's in trouble for right now is allegedly wiring that money to the bookie.
Mm-hmm.
Doesn't mean he made any bets. Doesn't mean he didn't.
So you can correct me if I'm wrong here, but it kind of sounds like he knew about what was going on and didn't put an end to it.
Well, that's the thing. That's the funnier part, because now he's coming out in allegations saying that The
interpreter
was stealing money from him.
Hmm.
So he's completely denying the money going from his, like, from him sending said money.
Mm-hmm.
So now it's a whole bunch of fucking hullabaloo on this bullshit.
Yeah. This is only going to get uglier before it gets better.
Exactly. But the one thing that has been said, is that the interpreter or whoever was under that account did not bet on baseball.
Mm-hmm.
They bet on other sports. They bet on soccer. They bet on basketball, college football, things like that. But you also rake up a $4.5 million debt. How much are you fucking betting?
I don't know. And honestly, if that were me and they got me involved in this, I'm shooting somebody in a kneecap. Don't worry, John, don't worry, I'm not going to kill him. Just going to graze the kneecap a little bit, and then they have to hop. Every time they walk, I call them IHOP.
Oh, wow.
You see the bullet hole right above there? Good job, because that's not attempted murder.
Look.
Oh, that fucking Dave Chappelle dice episode.
Look, you see, yeah, whatever. I'm shooting your ass in the kneecaps. Okay, you don't want to answer the question? There's kneecap number one. Oh, you don't want to answer again? There's kneecap number two.
Do you want to move to the elbows next?
Nah, it ain't even the elbows. I'm aiming for your fucking heart.
Yeah, you get three strikes.
Yeah.
Three strikes and you're dead.
Yeah.
This conversation, I feel like this conversation happened in fucking Russia here recently. you guys see those videos, hear about that?
Yes, I did.
Christian, I assume you didn't?
I did not, Ryan.
Russia captured the four shooters responsible for the Moscow Concert Hall massacre. Like 134 people died.
I heard about this.
Russia was very direct in getting their answers from these guys. When they showed up for court, one of them was still unconscious.
Yeah, he was in a chair. He looked like he was in a fucking coma.
He was fucking unconscious. They beat the fuck out these dudes during interrogation. One dude had an 80-volt battery hooked to his genitals. And not only did this happen, I'm just bragging about it.
Yeah, they're fine with it. Like,
right. One dude wasn't talking enough, or he wasn't telling them what they wanted to know. And this is some straight Reservoir Dog shit. Okay?
Mm-hmm.
They released a video with this dude, bandaged around his head, one arm covered in fresh blood. And apparently in the video prior, they cut off his ear and ate him.
That is some Reservoir Dog shit.
Can you hear me now?
Like, they fucking made him eat his own. And then they beat the ever-loving shit out of him.
There you go.
And the crazy thing is these dudes have confessed to being members of ISIS. ISIS has taken, Ronnie, what's the word I'm looking for?
They took full responsibility for it.
Yeah, they took full responsibility for the attack. Ukraine is somehow involved. ISIS is like, no, it was us. And he's like, it's not you, but good try.
Oh, Jesus.
They got answers. Those dudes know they're fucked. They know they're fucked.
At this moment, they knew. They fucked up.
The minute they were caught, they knew they fucked up.
Hi, welcome to Chili's.
Dummy!
No.
Dummy! Yeah! Yeah!
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. All right, we ready to get into our preview?
Yes, I do just want to say I like how Russia deals with terror.
Yes.
Very direct. All right.
Oh, Christian, I hate to do this to you. The Orioles have signed a new utility fielder.
Who?
Tony Kemp. 1 year, $1 million to back up whoever they got. The Orioles got a second base.
Oh, okay.
Well, why would that upset Christian?
Because that's another, because that's another fucking infielder that the Yankees fucking bypassed.
Well, they got a player today. Christian, did you hear the trade today?
No, I told you. I've been out the loop.
Oh,
wow,
John Birdie was traded from the Marlins to the Yankees in a three-player deal. The Yankees lost Ben Roosevelt.
Yeah.
The catcher went to Tampa Bay, and then another guy went to Miami. But they ended up with 31-year-old John Birdie. He's a shortstop / third baseman.
Oh, so he's probably going to be like their new IKF or
Gino. Oh, you know he's starting at third base probably for the opener because they do not want to start the season with
LeMahieu.
No, well, he's injured.
Yeah, he is.
Oh, God damn it.
Cabrera.
Mm-hmm.
He would be starting opening day. Well, it looks like that's not happening.
All I know is this guy Birdie was a Met killer when he was with the Marlins. Every time he played the Mets, he killed the Mets every fucking time.
Nice. Didn't know that. Yeah, and Roddy, that was the top hat you had on in that picture.
That was not a top hat.
Yes,
that
was
a fedora. That was a fedora.
No, it wasn't. It was a top hat.
It was not a top hat.
Now you know how I feel every time you say Gary Cole's on a fucking eight.
He isn't.
He is.
He's a one.
It was a top hat.
You're a two.
And you're a cow.
You're a cow. I feel like I'm walking on sunshine.
Don't forget to bring a towel. Bob Uecker to call the home opener for the Brewers.
Probably going to be the one time he does it, because I think, isn't he retired?
I don't know, but he's 90.
I was about to say, he's pretty fucking old.
How broadcasting workload for 90-year-old Uecker, for the rest of the season is uncertain. I'm surprised he's still fucking calling games.
He has a statue outside of that stadium.
Yes, he does.
Yeah, I have a picture of it.
Yeah, it's him sitting on the dugout bench, I think.
Doesn't he have a ring?
With Milwaukee, too?
I don't know.
I know he's in the Hall of Fame. I know that.
Yeah, he's fucking Bob Uecker.
Just a bit outside.
Just a bit outside.
Ball four. Ball eight.
Ball eight.
Ball 12. Ball 16. Man, they are.
How are they laying off pitches that close?
These guys suck.
You can't say goddamn on the air.
No, somebody's listening.
Remember, Roddy, it was a top hat.
Yeah. How's the injured reserve look for Gerrit Cole?
My motherfucker.
Respectful as fuck, Christian.
Look, I promise, anybody can get shot except with the exception of John.
Thank you.
Ryan.
Yeah.
No, I can't shoot Ronnie, because then who will put together my MEQ podcast? Ow, my mouth.
All the things I could have followed up that sentence.
I think I broke Ronnie.
That's just the way you said that, though. I was like, ow, my mouth.
Like, mm-hmm. I really thought that hurt you.
Mm-hmm. Nah, dude, my mouth.
It's free real estate.
It felt like I went 10 rounds with a prime Mike Tyson.
Oh, speaking of Tyson and cocksuckers named Jake Paul, he's back in the news.
Who?
Jake, I'm just gonna leave you swinging here, Paul.
Mm-hmm.
Decided to call Chuck Liddell out.
What a dumbass.
I guess he wants to, I guess somebody wants to cash in on an early life insurance policy or something.
I really hope what he said was bullshit, because he made a Twin Towers reference.
Who, Jake Paul?
Yep.
What'd he say?
He goes, after I'm done hold on, here we go. Responds to, here, let me see something. Let me see what I want to get the actual quote right, because he made a Twin Towers reference and Chuck Liddell decided to call him a clown and said, oh, he'll kill him in the ring. Where's the quote? It was something like, I'm going to take both of you down like the Twin Towers, because the fight that he wants to do is going to be in Madison Square Garden. I'm like, bro, you want heel heat. we'll take you back to the fucking Southern days where people were throwing batteries at people.
I like dark humor, though.
Wow.
I'm not even going to comment on that cocksucker.
Me neither. I'm not giving him the time of day. You know what? I'm about to go and try and take a shot of Hennessy after that one. I'll be right back, y'all. Damn it. Fuck Dwight.
Listen, just because you're Disney famous and YouTube famous, you should have been Nickelodeon famous, so Dan Snyder could have...
I've not watched that yet, but I've heard.
Wow. Tell us how you really feel.
You don't fuck with that shit. Just like he fucked with the fucking suicide forest in goddamn Japan. You want to draw real emotion? Hey, cowboy, you might not want to shoot with people that actually live in the Northeast. Just because you're from Cleveland, how's your Browns doing, by the way? Oh, wait, that's right. How's your Indians doing? Oh, wait, that's right. How's your laundry? Oh, yeah, that's right. Nothing good comes out of Cleveland except the Mids.
Dolph Ziggler.
I stand by my statement.
Shots fired.
No, I like Nick. I like Nick Nemeth. I stand by what I said, though. But no, like, I'm sorry. Logan Paul at least got himself distanced from that shit. His brother kind of embraced it. I can tolerate Logan Paul. Jake can go swinging. Allegedly. I hope he bets on sports so we can kick him out. Thank God Mike Tyson doesn't have any tax problems.
Truths.
I mean, that means you would see, hey, he's going to throw the fight. No, he's not. Wow, that's a fucking record if I've ever seen one. So with UConn's win on Monday for the women, they have gotten to the Sweet 16 for the 30th time in a row.
You impressed me if it was the 37th time in a row.
I don't think people understand how hard that is. To consistently have that good of a team for 30 seasons, 30 years. Men or women. That's insane.
Mm-hmm.
And we get in the Sweet 16, we get possibly get our wish for the women and Caitlin Clark versus or is that Elite Eight? Gabby versus, let me see if LSU.
Who, Angel Reese?
Angel Reese versus Caitlin Clark. I think we get one. I think that's the Sweet 16 or the Elite Eight. We have to go away one more round or it's Saturday.
Mm-hmm.
Nope, we have to go one more, but it's not going to be easy for LSU because they got UCLA. Whew, tournament chalk. Oy. Want to do baseball or do we want to do tournament first?
Let's do baseball because then I will gracefully bow out because I don't know anything about football. So let's do the baseball stuff first. Knock that out.
All right. Baseball kicks off officially next day, tomorrow, Friday, for the Mets and the Braves, and the Phillies and the Brewers. But it is officially, actually, it's technically already happened because we had two in Korea. Thank you, Dodgers, for splitting a series with the Padres with freaking Yamamoto not doing shit.
He got his ass handed to him.
But, I mean, that was kind of expected, wasn't it?
I was like Drew McIntyre secretly praying for it.
But, I mean, that was technically, we knew that was going to happen because it was his first pitch in the major leagues. He wasn't going to be used to it.
Pitch didn't even last an inning. Or just about an inning. It was all he lasted.
That sounds like a personal problem.
Yeah,
they make a pill for that. What?
Sponsor us, Blue Chew.
Sponsored by Clap Cleats. The devil always...
Dick pills and sex talks.
New podcast is a sex podcast. Dick pills and sex talks.
I'd listen.
Sponsored by Dr. Drew.
Seems like an intriguing premise.
And Adam Carroll.
Sponsored by Drake is not a hip-hop artist.
Wheelchair Jimmy!
Look, you said it this time. I said nothing.
Oh, trust me, that was...
My wheelchair Jimmy's everywhere.
Goddamn wheelchair Jimmy's brought up again.
Jimmy! Again. Oh, God
Jimmy!
Damn it. God damn it, why didn't R-Truth make that a Make-A-Wish kid?
Oh, God.
Wheelchair Jimmy. It could have had John. It could have had John Cena do a special wish for him.
It's just fucking wheelchair sitting there.
Oh, that's terrible. But you know, Cena would have done it.
Dude, R-Truth would have done it. This is Wheelchair Jimmy.
He fell down some stairs.
He fell down some stairs.
This is my friend, my favorite wrestler ever, John Cena. My childhood icon. And Truth's like 5 years older than Cena. That's what makes that bet.
He was born cheering his dad. So, Johnny Jr.
But all right, let's start in the AL East, where the Yankees are actually favored to win the East. But they're not the betting favorite. Baltimore is plus 180 to win. Yankees are plus 190. Baltimore is 3-1. Tampa 7-1. And the Suck Sox, the Bloody Tampons, are 20-1.
So what is Shohei? Who does he say is the best bet?
No one, because he didn't bet on baseball. According to FanGraph, they have the Yankees going 88-74. Tampa being 86-76, and then Baltimore being 85-77.
Okay.
Yeah, bull to the shit.
The All wheels right, are gonna.
I just want to say this right now. I'm just gonna put this out there. We will know sports are rigged if Baltimore wins the World Series this year.
Oh, goddamn you!
The
oh,
Orioles.
Yeah, that would definitely be a collapse of all ages if Baltimore doesn't win the World Series, wouldn't it?
The Orioles are going to run roughshod over this fucking division. I'm sorry to say it, Christian, but they're going to run roughshod over them.
Mm-hmm.
Including the Yankees. They're going to steamroll the Yankees.
Mm-hmm.
You're going Baltimore?
Oh, like I said, no disrespect, Christian, but Baltimore's oh, – forget it. That's –
Yeah. I mean, I'm a realist.
It's just that team's just too full of, you know, it's going to be disgusting how good they're going to be this year.
Ryan, are you picking Baltimore, or are you going to think they're going to collapse?
No, I'm going with New York, man.
There you go, Ryan. Do that for me.
I'm going with like I'm sorry, man. They're starting to kind of look like the Yankees of old, and you don't bet against the Yankees.
The question is, though, is will their pitching stay healthy? I mean, that's gonna be the same argument when we get to the NL.
That's gonna be the same argument when we get to any team starting.
So. I looked at it this way. So I also put some – certain things up. I have Judge leading the East in home runs.
Easily.
I have Judge leading the league in the AL East in RBIs. And I have Kevin, Gausman leading the league, the AL East in strikeouts. That's where, because projective-wise, they actually have him getting, like, a shit ton of fucking strikeouts this year.
Yeah, I mean, Baltimore is just, they're just going to be a juggernaut this year. It's just like they have too many, with all the young kids coming up.
I mean, they have a disgusting pitching staff, too.
Oh, totally. And I think John Means is coming back this year at some point, too. And if he's healthy, forget it.
Yeah, I mean, will the Yankees make a wild card? Yeah, I think they'll be the 14th. I think they'll be the top wild card. If their pitching stays healthy. I could still see the Yankees winning 90 games, but I see Baltimore winning like 95.
I wouldn't be shocked if Baltimore won over 100 games this year. I wouldn't be shocked.
Yeah. Christian, what do you think? You think hold on. The other thing I got to say is for Fangraph to put the Tampa Bay Rays second? Yeah, high?
Mm-hmm. I mean, yeah.
I mean, listen, I know there's some good fucking hallucinogens that go in Devil Rays, go in Stingrays, but holy shit. Does it think they're going to win? Who's your starting shortstop and who the fuck you have pitching for Tampa? They're going to be fourth. Actually, what is that bet? That's actually a bet I might make for an exacta. What the fuck would Tampa Bay be for the season? Loud noises. What would they, where is it? Division exactly. Tampa Bay National East. Where's the least?
Humbo.
So exacta, what's Baltimore? Baltimore Yankees would be 4-1. Yeah, I see that happening. Because I don't think the Blue Jays are gonna make that next jump yet.
The Blue Jays ain't gonna do shit.
Now, if you're the Blue Jays, though, do you? Oh, sorry. If you're Vlad and they do nothing this year, do you say bye-bye? Do you just, because it's your, you got one more year after this, then your contract's up.
I have a feeling he's going bye-bye anyway.
Christian?
What about Vlad?
Yeah.
Yeah, I think he's going to be gone.
Now, where would he end up? And besides saying the Yankees or the Mets, where do you think he, like, realistically could go?
The Yankees.
Other than the Yankees. And you're not wrong, because with what's his name, possibly on the way out.
You know where I could see him? I can, believe it or not, I don't know why this popped in my head. You know where I could see him ended up? And Ryan, you'll like this. I think I could see him ending up in St. Louis.
Good.
I just have this weird feeling that he would be idolized as a god in St. Louis.
I got a spot for him. Seattle. Say that again.
That's Mr. Stan Musial.
Okay, you were far away from the mic. That's why I said that. Okay. I could see him going to Seattle. Because, I mean, shit, you put him behind J-Rod.
or put him the third spot, J-Rod in the fourth spot, no, I wouldn't want to pitch either one of them.
Well, first of all, here's the thing. With the amount of money that Vlad's going to end up getting, they're not going to sign somebody like him with a couple years later. They're going to have to pay J-Rod. It's not happening.
There's no salary cap.
Not saying anything about a salary cap. I'm just saying I don't see them spending the money on Vladdy and then a couple years later having to spend even more money on J-Rod. I don't see it. The only reason I said St. Louis, too, is because I think Arenado's – sorry to say, but I think Arenado's on his way out.
I think they're going to hold on to Arenado, but I do know Goldie is – they're looking to trade Goldie out.
Yeah, there's your first baseman, too, so.
Yeah, so, I mean, Goldie's definitely going. Arenado, I would not be shocked if he was moved because if the Cardinals –
I brought him to St. Louis was, they were going to build a team – him at the center, and trying hard to do that with same or higher caliber and Goldschmidt. They complement each other, but they're almost carbon copies.
Right, and they're just, I don't know how your minor league farm system is, but apparently it's not top of the line. But if And I'm not saying, like I said, this is not to be disrespectful. I'm just saying it. If the Cardinals are out of it by June, would you be shocked if Arenado was moved?
No. Yeah. But, I mean, the thing with the Cardinals, especially this season, is they've shored up the back end of that bullpen.
Oh, apparently Vegas knows something that we don't. We'll get to them when we get to the NL Central, but apparently Vegas knows something that we don't.
I'm not surprised.
And that is kind of makes me scratch my head. But from one Central, let's go to the other Central, AL Central, where for some reason the Minnesota Twins are the favorites to win the Central at +110. Next is Detroit. Then the Guardians at 3-1 and 3.5 to 1. The Kansas City Royals are 6.5 to 1, and the Chicago Tampons, the White Sox, are 30 to 1.
You said it right the first time.
I know. Honestly, I did. I just gotta clarify for people listening.
You ain't gotta clarify shit with me. You said it right.
No, I never said with you, with our audience.
Oh.
Because remember, it's not just us. We're not doing this for fun. We're projecting the people.
Brian, you said something. We didn't hear what you said.
I said that's interchangeable with either.
Yeah, it's what happens when Chicago goes to Boston. White, red, it's the same thing.
Mm-hmm.
Pretty much. You can say Chicago tampons. You can be talking about the White Sox. You could be talking about the Cubs. The only thing that you really could be talking about would be Blackhawks.
Cock-sucking dumbass fans.
Oh, the bleacher creatures.
Hey, you be respectful. Don't
I like the I like the bleacher creatures.
Yeah. They don't have enough people in the bleachers to be known as bleacher creatures.
No, they have more people in the on the roofs.
Wait, Chris,
that's Wrigley,
Ronnie. Yeah, right?
Ronnie, that's Wrigley Field.
And I said that. When you said the goddamn fans, I thought you were talking about the Cubs. Cause
no.
Oh, okay. You're talking about the tampons.
You don't know shit.
Wait, Christian, you're back up near New York, right?
Yeah.
And fuck,
yeah, remember
Chicago.
That Sunday, Ryan? I called you and I was in a city, remember? Hey, you said that, not me.
I'll
I ain't
say
worried
it
about that.
It's fucking anybody's spouse.
Nothing good comes out of Chicago.
Nothing good comes out of Chicago, dude.
Oh, you're right.
Everything in Chicago goes in sunny.
Yeah, look at Kanye West, crazy ass.
Kyrie Irving.
He's not from Chicago. Kyrie's not from Chicago.
No, Kyrie's from Jersey, but I mean, he looks like he went to Chicago once or twice.
Yeah, well, he's a nutso.
So, all right. So, for the AL Central, the Minnesota Twins are in first. or are projected to win the division with
I'm okay.
with 84 wins. Guardians 80, Tigers 79, Royals 76, the Tampon 67. It would have been funnier if it was 69.
Oh, that would have been.
I think the Royals might surprise a few people this year.
I think the Royals are going to win this division.
Yeah, I need to know what cleaning agents you're inhaling.
Bod spray 409.
No, mine is called 2 days of no sleep.
All right, you get a pass, John.
Mine's called no sleep till Brooklyn.
No sleep till Brooklyn, bitches. Kansas City has added a lot to their roster. I mean, I'm not going to say who, like, they re-signed Bobby Witt Jr. to a bigger extension.
You got Seth Lugo in the offseason, which is not a bad pickup.
They got Waka, didn't they?
I believe so.
They got Haraldis. I'm going to squeeze titties, Chapman.
Hey,
they got,
be respectful.
Did you not watch his Instagram movies? His Instagram shit?
No.
Yeah, he's allegedly squeezing his mother's jugs.
Oh, okay.
I mean, he probably paid for them.
Shut up, Ryan.
You said it, not me.
He's running the paper. He's like, fuck it, I can touch him. I paid for him.
I'm out.
I'm so tired, I can't even laugh at that joke.
Oh, God.
Come here, let me squeeze your boobie. But, son, I paid for them. They are mine.
I mean, you got to think about it. Catchers, they still have Salvador Perez.
There was a guy, what's his name? Vinny Pasquantino, I think his name is.
Vinny Pasquantino, Bobby Witt Jr., Adam Frazier.
I mean, it's not a bad team.
No, it's a bunch of unknowns, really. That's the thing. Like, it's a bunch of scrappy players. The problem is that what no one's talking about is the fact that the Twins have done nothing to get, like, to make them, they did nothing in the offseason.
Oh, Kristen, did you see the joke I sent you? I'm sorry, when you said the Twins, it made me think of that guy. Did you watch the video I sent you?
What, the Joey Gallo one? Yeah, I saw it.
And Twins?
Gallo pretty much said he would like to forget his time in New York ever existed.
Yeah, because it didn't exist. He fucking sucked.
Like, I'll say this. The only player right now that's in Minnesota is Correa. That's it.
Am I aching ankle, Correa?
Oh, sorry. Max Kepler is there, too. Ooh.
Isn't Sonny Gray there?
I got the roster up right now. Let me check.
I thought Sonny Gray was with the Twins.
No, he left. Yeah, he's not there anymore. He was there last year. Where did
I
he go?
I think he went to Cincy, didn't he? No. He did go somewhere. I just can't think of it. My mind is not sharp today.
It's okay, buddy. You're just having
Jesus.
Well, I didn't hear that, Ryan. What did you say?
Then it's okay, buddy. You're just having a seat.
Actually,
fuck you, Ryan.
Thank you. Fuck you in the neck. There you go. There's my catchphrase.
Yeah, hold on. Somebody will say it.
Fuck you in the neck.
There you go.
Ah,
thank you.
It's my little homie Raider Day. Oh my God. What's up, Dave?
It's the Vegas A's.
For a second. Shit, I'm ready for baseball, I'm ready for hockey, I'm ready for football.
So, he's a He's a Cardinal.
Oh, that's crazy.
I am not. That is contrary to popular belief. No, I'm not.
Dave is whoever he wants to be. Right, Dave?
That's right. And today I identify as a New York Yankee.
Yankee Dave.
Yankee Dave.
That's right.
Like drink. Sounds good. Okay, I got to go back. I got more IKEA furniture I'm putting together.
Look, man, I understand. And if you damage it, I'll understand. I'll buy you some more, okay?
Well, it's IKEA, so if he damages it, he can just rebuild it.
Hey, shut up. This is Yankee fans only.
Yeah, shut up. Fuck that man.
Go at it. Go away, Raider Dave.
Yankee Dave!
That's right. Out my mouth.
All right, John, who you have winning the Central?
I'm going Kansas City.
Christian?
I like Minnesota. I think they'll win a close battle. I'll say Minnesota. I think it comes down to, like, the final week of the season.
Ryan?
Minnesota. And, like Christian, it's not going to be one of those where they run away with the division. They're going to squeak by with
it. Yeah, I'm not going to lie. Have a bet in already on Kansas City to win the division at 11-1, so I am taking KC.
Okay.
But I also – I put that bet in fucking months ago. I really do like that team. So the one thing I'll say, though, is when it comes to home run leaders for the division, I think the only good thing about the White Sox is going to be Roberts, is their power hitter, Robertson Jr.
Luis Robert.
Yeah, Luis Roberts. Thank you. I think he'll lead the Central in home runs. Bobby Witt Jr., I think, is going to lead the RBI for the Central. He might lead the league in RBIs.
Also, that motherfucker could hit for average, too.
Yeah. Strikeouts, I think, much as I hate the White Sox, he might still get traded. But Dylan Cease.
Oh, Cease is traded. He was traded to fucking San Diego.
That's right. Whatever. Cease can still probably will lead the league somewhere in fucking strikeouts because he actually can pitch. All right. Going to the West, the Houston Trash Cans, Astros, however you want to call them, are the favorites to win the AL West at -115. Behind that, Seattle at 2.5-1. Texas is +275. LA, the Angels of Anaheim, who gives a fuck, 45-1. The only reason you watch them is because of Mike Trout. And the soon-to-be Vegas A's at 175-1 to win the division.
Well, I think we all pretty much agree that the A's are not going to
Listen, I'm a gambler. I wouldn't even throw $2 on that. I love charity work, but that's not charity work.
You know what? The team I think that's going to surprise, I think even though they lost a lot of players, I think Texas could repeat and win the division. Because they really did. I mean, all they lost was Montgomery. That's the only guy they really lost from the rotation.
But, okay, then they have to, so then for them to have a chance to win the division, they have to keep themselves afloat up to the trade deadline.
Because by then,
DeGrom,
rubber arm DeGrom should be back, but
and
nothing.
So should Scherzer. Yeah. So could they stay afloat? Yeah, they could. Will they? I don't know.
They got that rookie, that kid that plays center field for them. That kid's a fucking beast. I can't think of his name off the top of my head, but
you just said it. Second year. Could he fall into a sophomore slump?
I mean, the jury's still out on it, but I'm still back in Texas.
Okay.
Christian, who are you taking?
It's gonna come down to Houston and the Texas Rangers. I'm going to go Houston, unfortunately, because they just always seem to find a way.
Brian?
What are we talking about?
The AL West.
Houston, Texas, Seattle, Anaheim.
It's pretty much a three-team race between Houston, Seattle, and Texas.
Houston.
Yeah, I mean, I always seem to go with Seattle, and it never seems like they can ever get across that finish line, and they still need another bat in their lineup.
I agree.
To get behind, for someone that a bigger bat to get behind J-Rod, so that you would actually pitch to him.
To protect him, yeah.
They need somebody they need another bat to protect them. They don't have that right now, and I don't know really what they did for their pitching that made them look any better. Now the question is, though, is like you said, John, can Texas hold out until the trade deadline? Can they keep it close up to the trade deadline? I don't think they can. I think they'll make the playoffs, but I don't think they're going to win the division. I think Houston will take it, not by a runaway, though.
All I'm going to say is, Christian, and you can back me up with this too, and maybe Ronnie, you too. Last year, nobody predicted the Rangers to go anywhere last year because they had a bunch of no names. You know, DeGrom was out. They didn't have Scherzer until July. Everybody pretty much wrote the Rangers off, and look what they ended up doing. So the only player, like I said, the only player they really lost this offseason was Jordan Montgomery. And I'm sorry, he wasn't the maker. I mean, he was good for them, but he wasn't the end-all be-all of that starting rotation. Just saying.
Yeah, absolutely right.
But the thing with that, and I get what you're saying, and you're right, but the bigger question is can these same guys repeat what they did last year?
You got
a lot of rookies that were in this that are going into the second year. Are they going to fall into that sophomore slump?
Unless this team completely implodes, I don't see that happening. I mean, could it happen?
Like I said, I think Texas can make the playoffs. I think they'll hit a wild card. I think they'll be one of the wild card teams. But I think Houston might take that division.
But the only downward thing I got to say about both Houston and Texas, their pitching staffs are both aging rapidly. You know, Scherzer, 40? Verlander's 41. DeGrom's going to be 36 or 7.
Well, Verlander's not even starting
season,
yeah.
But that's my only caveat to these two teams. Other than McCullers Jr., which I think is still with Houston, Christian,
I think so too.
He's the only real bright spot in that starting rotation. I don't know about the other guys because I really don't know them. But
you know what's crazy, John? Because when I was talking to Kevin tonight, when he said he wasn't going to be able to come on, and he sends his regrets, he will be back. He will be on soon to come and talk baseball with you guys. I was telling Kevin tonight, you know, when Houston lost Carlos Correa, they plugged in Jeremy Peña and didn't miss a beat. So it's like they can just grab guys out of nowhere and not miss a beat.
You're completely right. It's because the only thing is like I said, Houston, their players are starting to get on the opposite side of 35 now, quite a few of their players. And that's the only thing, I think, is Altuve over 35 yet?
I don't know.
He's getting there, but he just signed he will be a lifer for Houston.
I know he's going to be a lifer, but I think he's on the opposite side of 35. You got the guy they got from the White Sox, Abreu, I know he's on the opposite side of 35.
I know Bregman's getting up there
Alex, yeah, Bregman's getting up there. They're all, because you see, that's the one thing about Houston is that what the general manager did, making all these trades and signing
33.
What, Altuve? But
yeah,
he started. But he's starting to lose a step. He's not as sharp as he once was.
I mean, he's past his prime.
He's getting to the downside of his career.
But the one thing I
see, Alex Bregman is 29, so he's in the prime.
He's in the prime. And he's a free agent, I think, after this season, too, I think.
Yeah, leave that trash can.
But you see, the thing is, my only fear is that in the next 2 to 3 years, and mark my words with this, Houston will be in the dumper before too long because all these players are either going to A, retire, or B, they're just going to be way past their prime that they're just going to get traded or released. This team doesn't have the minor leagues it once had because they traded a buttload of their prospects away to get, you know, to get Verlander back, and then they traded a bunch of guys. They made another bunch of trades. They basically sold their farm.
Good. Couldn't have happened to a more deserved.
Because what's going to happen with them is they're going to, unless they completely implode by midseason, which may or may not happen depending on how Verlander comes back and the other guys perform. Bregman, Abreu, and McCullers all could be trade bait come the trade deadline if the Astros are that bad, because they need to replenish the farm. And if those three players are up on the trade, they could get a huge haul back in minor leaguers. And that's what the Astros need to do if they want to compete in another couple of years. They got to replenish that farm system.
Yeah.
That's why I think Texas has got a lot of young kids up. They're a younger team. That's why I predicted the Texas Rangers are going to take this. But
yeah, I mean, like I said, I think Texas will take a wild card spot. But I just think right now you don't have enough that inexperience might catch up to them.
You could be right, but then it could turn around and surprise you, because I mean it surprised everybody last year.
I think the fact that they made the run, also you got to think the coaching helped with that too.
Oh, totally.
The skipper freaking was one of the big reasons why they won a lot of their playoff games.
Wasn't that Ron Washington?
Not Dusty.
No, he was in Houston. We're talking about Texas, Christian, not Dusty.
No, I think it was Bochy.
Yeah, it was Bochy.
Bruce Bochy, you're right. You're Bruce Bochy, yeah. But, no.
Yeah,
we'll just have to wait and see. But what's the next division we're going over?
And at least, I mean, let's face it. Right now, it's the Braves at minus 290, pretty much. Vegas is telling people that the Braves are going to frickin' take this division. The Phillies are plus almost 3-1. The Mets are 12-1. Miami is 26-1. And the Washington Nothings are 100-1.
The only thing I'm going to say about the Mets that's positive about this, because Atlanta's going to run away with this division. It's going to be either Atlanta or Philly, but I'm putting my money on Atlanta. By the Mets signing J.D. Martinez, they finally provided protection for Pete Alonso, because now Alonso won't get pitched around because you have Martinez right behind you. So you're going to have to pitch to him. And that could be good for Alonso. Could be very good for him. But we're not going to get Martinez until maybe mid-April, towards the end of April.
Well, yeah, because he's going to...
He's got to have extended spring training, yeah, because he's not in... game use ready shape yet. But the Mets right now, as much as I love them, I see them finishing third again. I don't think they have the it factor this year. Their pitching staff is too weak in my opinion, because I'm just figuring when Severino's going to crash. You know, you're not getting Senga back until maybe July. And Quintana, your opening day starter, finally starting the season on time. There's just too many question marks with the staff, the pitching staff. Offensively, we're good. Pitching-wise, we suck. Bullpen is solid. You got Diaz back. But unfortunately, I think that bullpen is going to get taxed a lot in the mid in mm-hmm. the beginning of the year, like they were last year, and then towards the end of the season. That's why the team imploded like it did. It's because the bullpen was coming in the fourth or fifth inning every other fucking day, and they were taxed. But I think it's going to be Atlanta, Philly, the Mets, the Marlins, and then the Nationals. That's the way I see it mapping out.
So, I agree. I think Atlanta is going to take the division. But I think the Mets are going to keep themselves in a fighting chance for a wild card. I really do. I think this team, even with the pitching, you can still go out. Once league starts, you know as well as everybody else that they'll be pitching to go and get,
look,
to go and sign.
Look, I love this team. I'm like Christian. I'm being a realist. I love this team. You know how much I love this team, and I do. But it's just I don't think they did enough in the offseason to better this team, the starting rotation. There were better guys out there than they got.
Okay. Yamamoto didn't want to be here. Clear as
day. Not talking about Yamamoto. I'm talking about other guys other than him. There was the Snells. There was the Montgomerys. There was the there was a lot of other guys that they could have gone out and gotten to shore up the starting rotation. And they didn't do it. They crapped the bed on that regard. They shit the bed on that one. They fixed the hell out of the bullpen. But you better pray that bullpen holds up in fucking August and September, which I don't think they will be doing. And your start, your 1 through 9 in the batting order, I'm not worried about the starting lineup. I'm worried about pitching 1 through 5. That's where this team is, I think, lacking. I'm just being real. I'm not going to get my hopes up with this team because every year I do this, and every year I get fucking disappointed. I'm not doing that anymore. I'm being real with myself. I have to. If they win, great. I'll be the first one to celebrate, but that don't mean I'm not going to get my hopes up with this team. I will not do it.
So that's the thing. Like, Senga comes back later. We get this. But there's also, they did a lot in the offseason that made the team better. Look at what happened when the Mets made the big splash to get the top name guys. It blew up right in Stephen Cohen's face, and he knew what was coming and had to fucking trade them. When the fan base was screaming, oh, Verlander needs to come here. Oh, Scherzer needs to come here. We need to go out and buy everybody. Cohen is not Steinbrenner.
He was a little bit when he went out and got both those guys. He was playing right into Steinbrenner stuff, and it blew up in his face. You're completely 1,000% right.
I'm sorry. I will say this again. Unfortunately, everyone is screaming for the Mets to go in, for Steve Cohen to go out and buy another guy. All right. But yet you have all this young talent sitting in AAA. All these guys that are prime blue chip prospects. Do you want this team to get younger or do you want to win a title? Because you can't have both.
Look, I'll say this straight out. Did they, when they traded everybody away last year, the Fams, the Cannas, the Verlanders, the Scherzers, and all that stuff, nobody wanted Vogel back because they didn't want to carry any extra weight on the team. But they went and you got a ton of prospects back. This spring, I watched a lot of the Mets, a lot of the Met babies that they're calling them, the baby Mets. Acuna is going to be good when he comes up. Church and Gilbert are both going to be good outfielders because Marte's on the south side of his career. He claimed he could play 170 games. Yeah, I'll believe that when I see it. Their pitching staff, there's a lot of kids that are potentially could be starting in the majors. And this year, would I be surprised if I didn't see Christian Scott and Hamill and Vassell all up in the majors this year? I wouldn't be shocked. And there's your three guys that could be the next generation of this starting rotation. There could be a 2, a 3, and a 4 right there. But when I was saying go out and buy players, I'm not telling going out and buying top of the line. I'm talking about guys that'll eat you innings.
Mm-hmm.
I'm sorry, Jose Quintana is not an innings eater. If you can get him past the fifth inning, great. But coming off an arm injury like he came off of, or a rib injury or whatever the hell he had. Brian, he pitched for you guys. He pitched beautifully for you guys. We get him, and all of a sudden he forgets how to pitch or gets hurt. Typical Met. But I'm sorry, with Senga being gone, who's the real stud of this pitching rotation? And don't say Severino, because Christian, you should know better than anyone. You can't depend on him.
No. I'm going to stop you right there, though.
No.
I'm going to defund this one. Christian, you can answer this one, too. They did not give him enough time to get healthy.
Well, the Yankees?
Yes, the Yankees. Because
they gave him chance after fucking chance.
They rushed him back on a lot of the time. He should have never pitched in that playoff game when he first got hurt. They rushed him back to pitch in that wild card game. For what reason? He got hurt immediately after.
Because Christian, debunk this for me and for our host here.
Mm-hmm.
When was the last good season, year-wise, did Luis Severino have?
Second year in.
I'd say 2018.
Which was his second year, right? Was it his rookie
year?
So yeah,
2019, 2020, 21, 22, 23. 5 years of shit?
5 years of being injured!
Which is why I'm saying you can't depend upon him.
No one's depending upon him. Guess what? If he turns out to be the Sevy from his rookie year, great! We got a fucking stud.
I'll agree with that, but I'm just saying, I'm not going to sit there and put all my eggs in his basket because I've seen his track record. That's what I'm trying to say. I'm trying to be a fan, but I'm trying to be objective in the same regard. You can't depend on him. If Met fans are depending on him, you're in for another year of disappointment.
Mm-hmm.
By the way, Christian, they should have never rushed him back before that oblique strain. Before he got that oblique strain, they should have had him sit out longer.
Yeah, that might be true.
But Christian, am I wrong to feel that way about him?
No,
but guess what? If Sevy turns out to be the old Sevy, great, that's a great pickup. But
I agree.
But no one's sitting here saying he's the ace. He's the number one. No, he's not. We're lucky if he turns into the old. If not, $13 million write-off.
No, but technically right now with Senga being out, Sevy is our number one. And that's fucking frightening. That is frightening. Who else is McGill? Peterson?
Well, Hauser.
Hauser? Quintana? Yeah, there's a starting five that I'm intimidated by.
Those guys can get you six innings.
You better pray they get you six innings.
Dude, you're making this seem like they're all scrubs.
I'm not saying they're all scrubs.
No, you're alleging that they're all scrubs by saying they pray to get you six innings. Understand that it's 162 games. You know this. The fact that we're looking at this where if you can get 5-6 innings, they're not going to be Blake Snell. God forbid, Blake Snell can go fuck himself for where he is right now, because the only good thing is he's good at pitching 5 fucking innings, sitting his fat ass on the bench, eating his fucking seeds, and collecting a fucking billion-dollar paycheck for doing jack fucking shit. And somehow he gets a Cy Young. Garrett Cole can fucking pitch better with his left nut than Blake's fucking Snell. Trevor Bauer does a better job at his fucking sleep. The fact is Trevor Bauer needs to be on the Mets. He should be on the Yankees. He should be on the team, because guess what? That's a low risk, high reward. And what else have we got to lose? I'm hearing this from Twitter. I'm hearing this everywhere. I'm getting sick and tired. We haven't even pitched one fucking ball in the game yet. We don't know how these pitchers are going to be. You can have one pitcher show up and pitch. Sevy can show up game number one and pitch a no-hitter, or he can blow his fucking He can blow his fucking arm out on the first pitch. He can blow his Achilles out after 4 plays.
The reason I'm saying that is because last year I came onto the show and I sat there and praised that the Mets were going to run away with shit, and I got my hopes up.
Because Steve Cohen paid for 2 prime guys that one was an ace, one was a Cy Young winner, and looked great, but at the same time he spent $40 million a year on 2 guys over 40.
And that's why this year I said to myself, I'm not going to do that to myself this year.
But you're instantly, but by saying what you're saying, and I'm not trying to say, put words in your mouth, you're saying the season means nothing right now because they don't have starting pitching.
Look, and I'll say this, and then we'll move on to that. We'll move on to other teams with this. I'm just going to say this final thought, and then I'm done with it. I love this team. I've loved this team my whole life. Every year, for as long as I can remember, every year I come in with such high hopes, and every year my feelings are, I'm Tanya Harding. I'm Nancy Kerry. I'm getting the bat behind my leg. You know, I mean, every bad thing you could possibly say, it happens with this team, and it happened with the Wilpons. It happened with Brody Van Shithead. It happened with everybody else. This team, every year I come in with, this is going to be the year. This is going to be the year. And every year I get disappointed. So this year I said, you know what? I'm not going to do that to myself this year. I'm not going to sit there and get my hopes up. If they win, I'll be the first one celebrating out there with the pot screaming that we're the world champions. But I'm not going to sit there and get my hopes up and be crushed again. I will not do that to myself anymore. Because this team means too much to me, and I hate to see them get my hopes up every year, and I'm constantly crushed, but yet I stick with them. I've never left them. That's all I'm going to say.
I've never left this team, and I'm sitting here telling you they're not winning the division. I've made that perfectly clear.
I think we all made that clear.
But I've also been sitting here telling you that this team is good enough to fight for a wild card. This team, on paper, is good enough to win 89 games.
On paper, they were good enough to do that last year, too, but they didn't do shit.
Because the 2 pitchers that they went out and got didn't produce. There's nothing you could do about that.
I know, and I'm not disagreeing with you on that. But let's move on to the rest of the division, because it's already 10 after 11.
Christian, who are you picking to win the East? Or Ryan, who are you picking to win the East?
Okay, both of them disappeared.
All
right, yeah, there you are.
There he is.
Who do you got winning the East? Right.
The rundown.
Oh, Braves, Phillies, Mets. That's pretty much the gist of it.
Braves might do it.
Braves are heavy favorites. Christian, you still there or you leave? I see you are on mute. All right, while he's there,
I'm back.
Oh, there you go. What do you got?
I had to go wash.
So. Okay. The East.
The American, the National League East?
Yeah, NL.
Well, it ain't the Marlins, the Nationals.
No, I mean, it's pretty much, it's not even the Mets. Is it the Phillies or is it the Braves?
I'm going to go with Atlanta.
Yeah, I think that's a clean sweep on that. Like, I have right now, so I have home run leader for that is Pete. RBI leader, I have Matt Olson. And then strikeout leader, I have Strider.
Yeah, I think that's a pretty safe bet on all three of those.
Strider keeps this pace up. He might – listen, I said this – people think this is blasphemy on this one. He keeps the pace up he's going. He has the best chance to beat Nolan Ryan for the – passing Nolan Ryan for career strikeouts. He's averaging over – like I think he's averaging like 200 a season, and he's still young.
You're not wrong.
That's the scary thing. Everyone's like, oh, he can't do this. I'm like, he's the closest to possibly getting to 5,000 strikeouts if he stays healthy and keeps going the projected way he goes. He might actually be able to get there.
Yeah. I don't know, man.
It's interesting. All right, NL Central. For some reason, no offense, Ryan, the Cardinals are favorites to win the Central at pretty much 2-1. The Cubs are plus 190. The Cubs are 2-1. The Reds are plus 325. The Braves are 6.5-1, and the Pittsburgh Pirates are 11-1.
The Braves?
Sorry, the Brewers.
You said Braves.
Milwaukee Braves, same fucking thing.
No, it's not. They
don't know this. People are stupid. It's just a fedora douche. Ryan, I know you're probably taking the Cardinals to win the division. But what does Vegas see that we don't?
That's the question.
Because them to be favorites when they're in the offseason, what? They added Sonny Gray. That was about it. What did they do that made this team better? It's the same, for the most part, it's the same roster that trotted out and won 83 games last year. And
I wish I could.
I don't think this team is going to be – I think the Cubs have gotten a little bit better. The Reds have gotten significantly better.
That's my pick right there.
Couldn't agree with John anymore.
Yeah, Ellie De La Cruz is coming back into his – like, even though it's his second year, the dude is at the highest of highs. But here's my other question. Even though they're 11-1, what the fuck is up with Pittsburgh?
That's another team that's, because O'Neill Cruz, I don't know what the hell's going to happen with him.
This leg injury for him is a lot worse than people are putting on.
Could be the death knell for him.
I don't think it's the death knell, but it's no one's talking about him.
He doesn't see the exit, but he's on the exit's within shouting distance. Because for what you just said, that injury apparently wasn't just a regular sprained ankle.
No, it looks like it was a compound fracture.
And that's going to affect you not only hitting, fielding, running, it's going to affect every aspect of his game. You can't play defense if your ankle's all jacked up. You can't run. You can't hit.
So apparently he's on the active roster right now. He went for the spring training. He went average 250, on base 750, one home run, four ribbies in nine games.
Look, what I'd love to see him come back is I got a bunch of his rookie cards. Yeah, but I'm sorry, Cincinnati. That kid De La Cruz is going to kill this division.
Mm-hmm.
No disrespect, Ryan. But this kid is the real fucking deal.
The Pirates, like, as a flyer at 11-1 would be an interesting bet because they gained a lot. They didn't lose a lot.
Pittsburgh's going to be a good team, but I just don't see.
But I have Cincinnati winning the division. I actually have a bet on them already at 5-1. I got them early in the year before people started betting on them. I got Cincinnati.
Going to be an interesting season for Cincinnati, I can tell. You know, they have a lot of young kids coming up that this is going to be like, this might be another Texas Rangers in the waiting with them. Nobody's expecting a lot, but might be very shocked at what they get towards August and September with this team.
Yeah. Ryan, what says you? I mean, I know you're probably thinking Cardinals, but do you really think the Cardinals have what it takes to win the division?
Absolutely.
Because, like, what are you hearing? Like, is there anything out there that you're hearing?
There's nothing that I'm hearing. I'm listening to Redbird rants on a regular basis. Basically, we're not quite sure what they've done in the offseason, but they've made big moves. Doesn't mean sign.
No, but there's anything in your is there anyone in your farm system?
I mean, more than
yeah. I mean, the only down thing to say, like, the only one thing about Cincinnati that's a downside is McLean is undergoing shoulder surgery, so he's going to be out for a month. So they're going to be down a second baseman, but let's see, what is the Cardinals doing? It looks like they're projecting the fact that the reason they're projecting this is because of their farm system. And I don't know. I don't think... hold on. Sonny Gray on the fucking IL? Sonny Gray starts the season on the IL. With what, though?
That's not a good sign.
And Lars Nubar is on the injured list.
Lars Nubar?
Nubar, yep. Right hamstring for Sonny Gray. Puts him on the 15. While Nubar is headed to the 10-day DL with multiple rib fractures.
That's going to keep him out for a good chunk of the season. Because you can't do shit with that.
And Tommy Edmonds on the starts the IL the season on the IL with a wrist injury. But yet. And I'm not even trying to make this as a joke, but yet Vegas still has them as a division leader. I don't know. I'm missing something. I think Cincinnati, though, is going to take that.
Absolutely.
For them, I have... what is it? NL Central... Hoskins for home run leader, Austin Nola for RBI leader, and then Hunter Green for strikeout leader. And now let's go to the NL West to close it out. The Dodgers clearly are the favorites at -600. Next is the Giants at 10-1, Arizona 11-1, Padres 12-1, and the Colorado Rockies at 200-1. So, is this...
Who are you picking and why is it LA?
See, here's the thing. The Dodgers last year, first off, I ain't betting on the Dodgers with this fucking price. Fuck that. I'd rather take Arizona with that long shot. The Dodgers are just stacked. But then again, so are the Giants.
Mm-hmm.
Don't count out the Rockies. I'm telling you, don't count them out.
Not this year.
You guys all laughed at me when I said Cleveland a couple years ago, and you all thought I was nuts then.
This division is too tough. Colorado, if they did, they could make a wild card, maybe. But they're, I would tell you to go put money on them to make the playoffs because they're going to be at like 500-1 to make the playoffs. And that's even like as a wild card.
Well, I didn't say they were going to run away with the division. I just said that's going to be that's a team that I was like, would you be shocked? No.
I would, because they don't really have anything. Colorado Rockies to make the playoffs 15-1. Just to get in. I can't see them. Not with three other teams in front of them, and I'm not even talking about the Padres. Just the Dodgers, the Diamondbacks, and the Giants, because the Giants did a lot during the off season. Upgraded their pitching, upgraded their fucking hitting. That's for damn sure. But I think it's LA's to lose.
Yeah, I think it's the Dodgers.
Brian? All right, while we wait for him, John.
Dodgers.
Dodgers, yeah, Dodgers, unfortunately, but.
Yeah, I was going to say, like, home run leaders, I got. Somehow, unless he gets suspended, Otani, stealing both RBI and home run. Strikeouts, though, I got Zach Gallen to lead the West in strikeouts. But that's our, we're not going to do, I don't think we're going to do World Series, 162 games. We can come back to the World Series picks when we hit the quarter pole.
Right.
Because right now, it's like Ryan said at the beginning of the year, trying to pick Cy Young is like picking World Series. It's just a crapshoot.
True.
It makes no sense on how it's going to go. Because, right, obviously, right now, if you go by what it is, even with Ohtani being out, the Dodgers are still a 3.5-1 to win the World Series. But obviously, you're going to get the biased players. Like, the Yankees are 11-1. They're fourth overall to win the World Series. But yet, the Baltimore is right behind them at 12-1. Like, you ready for this? Reasonable long shot. You want a fun one? 45-1 Cincinnati.
That's not that much of a long shot.
To win the World Series, yeah, that's a pretty big long shot. But I'm saying, like, that's a reasonable one, though. That's a realistic long shot.
True. I'll give you that.
Because I don't think the Royals, even if they made the playoffs, I don't think they're winning the World Series. They're 125. The team that's there that's, like, realistic is 45-1, and that's Cincinnati.
Right.
Because even the even the Cardinals are 33 and the Cubs are 27. But again, we haven't had one multiple pitch start yet, except for the Dodgers and San Diego. And we know nothing. We'll know more when we hit the quarter pole. That is our picks for the Major League Baseball season. John, did you want? We'll talk some basketball real quick and some NFL.
I'll try to hang on, but I mean, I just don't. I won't have anything to say about basketball. Football, well, I might have something to say.
Well,
about
we'll do the football stuff now because I actually want Christian's opinions on the new rule changes.
I will talk
to
you later, Rye.
All right, see you later, Rye.
Later, Ryan.
So, all right. So, thank you. So, the NFL has done a rule change. And they have eliminated the quote-unquote drop tackle.
The what?
Hold on. It's a hip drop tackle. So what it is where they would come underneath their legs to tackle them.
Okay.
Now, it's to prevent injuries and stuff like that. The problem with this is that everybody is now calling, like, I think there was a joke from Christian. Was there a joke on your page that was like, oh, now the play that was against the Rams and the Titans was a drop tackle?
Was there? I don't know.
The last one, even though it wasn't, like, people are calling that a hip drop tackle is the same as catching somebody from behind by their feet.
Well, I think the rule is I'm against it because it's already tough for a defender to play defense in this day and age of football, right? I remember a couple of years ago, so I once contributed for one of the hosts asked me if I were playing then. This was 10 years ago, but, you know, the league's been kind of soft these last couple of years, right? He asked me if I were playing in today's NFL, how would I tackle somebody? Would I aim for the helmet or would I aim for the knee? And unfortunately, I said I'm going for the knee because if I go helmet to helmet, it's gonna be a flag. You're gonna more than likely be ejected from the game potentially, and I'm probably coming out my pocket to the league office between $35,000 to $50,000. I'll say this. Lawrence Taylor, Ray Lewis, Ronnie Lott, I'm trying to think who else was it, Mike Singletary, you know, all the guys who played defense back in, you know, in the 80s to early 90s, they'd be livid. They would not be able to play in today's NFL because they played with that aggression. And it just seems like the league, to me, is only wanting to protect one side of the ball, which is the offensive side.
Now, I understand. So, personally, I think you need to treat the hip tackle. And it's funny because everyone's like, oh, well, this. I go, well, think about it. When do you really see the hip drop tackle?
Mm-hmm.
When someone is wrapping up high. Because how are you going to get your hips underneath their legs to bend their legs out? You have to wrap them up high. Okay. Then treat it like a horse collar tackle.
Yeah, but, you know, at this point, you might as well just put flags around the offensive players because you can't. They're not going to hit anybody now.
Well, that's the thing. It's now, but that, and there's the problem. It's now what is going to classify as a hip drop tackle because it's very simple what a hip drop tackle is, and it's when someone uses their body and cuts out your legs from behind. And that is the letter of the law. That is perfectly exactly what it is.
Mm-hmm.
But now the question is, though, is if someone's behind and they wrap them up at the waist, that's not a hip drop tackle, but that is trying to take somebody down.
Mm-hmm.
Now, if an injury comes from that, is that a hip drop? No, it's not. It's just you're wrapping somebody up and trying to take them down and you're not messing with their legs, you're not injuring them. Now, but the other thing is, too, is, okay, then turn around and look at it from the other side. Well, are you going to stop these offensive linemen for taking these defenders out at the knees?
Right. And remember, I'm a former defensive player.
So am I.
You know, things like this just kind of make me cringe.
I say if you're going to do this, referees need to call this how you would call a horse collar tackle.
Exactly.
If you call this, because a horse collar tackle is the same thing. When he's high, other than him dropping out, 90% of the time, he's taking the guy out from his knees too.
Yeah.
So it's the same thing. Just link it into that. Oh, well, they're banning this. No, they're not. They're trying to make sure there's less injuries. And shit happens. It's football. It's not fucking ballet.
Right.
It's a very interesting way that they need to work on it. They need to iron it out first and figure out what is going to be considered what before this really gets into play.
Yeah, yeah. All I know is this just made the sport that I've loved for pretty much my whole life look even softer.
Yeah, I agree with that. John, what do you think?
I don't know. I'm not sure. I'm not 100% familiar with what you're talking about with these passes and stuff like that I'm not 100% sold on it, so I really don't have anything to say about it.
Okay, so they actually, Christian, it's a good thing we talked about this. They actually defined what a hip drop tackle is. It is,
yeah,
if the defender grabs the runner, both hands, or wraps around, wraps both arms, or wraps the runners with both arms and underweights himself by sweeping, by swiveling or dropping the hips and or lower body, landing and trapping the runner's legs below the knees. That is what they are considering a drop tackle.
You know, I'll be honest with you. If I would have to see this play, you know, in effect to be able to, you know, to comment on it. I have never seen it. I might have. I just didn't know I did see it. You know what,
yeah,
I'm saying?
I would put this in the same category as a horse collar. The exact same style, I would classify this exactly as exactly that type of play. And it's more, yeah, you're trying to make a play, but are you also, but you shouldn't be dropping your full weight and bending the dude fucking like a pretzel.
Right.
Christian.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's the definition of it. Now, the question is will the definition stay true to the words by the umpire, by the referees? Probably not.
Right.
And that's the
right,
big thing. And that's the,
yeah,
and that's
so
the,
I just think now defensive players in the NFL, they're going to be conflicted on how to hit somebody.
Again, I've said it. Treat this how, when you tackle people, treat this like a horse collar tackle, where if you're wrapping the guy up high, you try to, like, you're not going to get a guy putting all of his weight on somebody's back anymore. It's literally going to be, you're going to try to stop them and hold them up if you're tackling from behind.
Mm-hmm.
Which might be good for the defense because, God forbid, you hold one of the guys up, come in and strip that ball. But that's one of the rule changes.
Yeah. But look, Ronnie, I'm going to get out of here.
Well, I want one more from you, because there was one more rule change that happened.
What?
We have a new kickoff.
Yeah, I saw that. That's some bullshit, too.
So, if people don't know, the NFL is now adopting the XFL style of kickoff, which is a hybrid kickoff where you still have your return man, you still have your kicker, but the kicker's at the 35 like normal. But yet you have the defense and offensive players, or the kickoff and kickoff return players, within 10 yards of each other from the 40 and the 30, and they have to kick it within to the landing zone, and then it's pretty much crash demolition derby after that.
Yeah, they've done a lot. They've done way too much with
have you,
kickoff rules.
Have you watched the XFL?
Yeah.
Style?
Yeah.
I don't mind this because I think they need to start it. I get where they're starting it from, and I get why they're doing it, because it does – it will hold off injury. It will protect the people from injury, because
mm-hmm.
you're not getting the startup. But it's also going to lead to – what's it called? More returns.
Yeah, that's why they're doing it, because they're tired. I'm sure they're tired of these kickers just kicking it through the other goalposts.
But then don't put it at the 35.
Exactly.
If you want more returns than the what it is, put it at the 25. Or put
right.
it at the 30. And let these guys get it into that zone. Because put it at the 35, guess what? A kicker's just going to boot it right out of the end zone. Don't mind this, because you're going to bring back the one position that was kind of a lost art.
Right, which
and
was kicking.
Kicking, and the kick returner.
Mm-hmm.
Like, that's what Devin Hester made his fucking money off of.
Yeah.
But, no, yeah. it's just going to be that. Like, those are the new rules for the NFL. There's not a lot of other stuff. I mean, they just announced Philly versus Cleveland.
Mm-hmm.
As the
Brazil game,
but that's going to be the season opener, but it's on a Friday?
Yeah, I heard about that.
Why?
So Friday when? September 6th, right?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like, so we're not going to have an opening day on a Thursday?
I don't know. Yeah, I'm sure we will.
But that's the problem. Doesn't the Chiefs will play Thursday then?
Yeah, they will. They will.
Okay.
Yeah, and I think they're either going to play Baltimore or the Chargers.
Well, it wouldn't be Baltimore. Well, is that a regular season game or is that a preseason?
No, it's regular.
No. The Philly game.
Oh, that's regular.
Regular. So it wouldn't be Cleveland. The Chiefs wouldn't have Cleveland then.
No, I'm saying the Chiefs might play Baltimore or the Chargers in their opener.
Yeah, depending on how the draft goes. I don't know. I think it's going to be very... then also, let's turn around and give the NFL... Let's go play on Christmas.
Mm-hmm.
Two back-to-back games. Oh, we're going to have the guys play Christmas, and then, geez, why?
Mm-hmm.
Here, go back to the old way, because remember, Christmas, bring the fucking Hawaii Bowl back and put it on Christmas Eve. I don't know. It's getting... making as much sense as the USFL.
Yep. But all right, Ronnie, I'm out of here.
Yeah, I think we're done period, because I think there's nothing really else to talk about.
No, there's not. All right, man. I'll see you tomorrow. John, I'll talk to you tomorrow. Happy opening day.
Yep. You too, man.
Yep.
John, you got anything else you want to add?
I got nothing, man.
All right. Well, with that being said, ladies and gentlemen, welcome. Thank you for listening to this episode. If you like what you heard, please follow us on all social media accounts under the Nerdport Network. Follow us individually on Twitter at F and Ronnie.
At the Zombie Master.
Follow Ryan at Stunkcock STL and Christian at the Daily Blitz.
_61.
And follow. And join us back here next week as we dive deep in the good, the bad, and the what the fuck was that in the world of sports and sports betting. recapping the opening day of Major League Baseball, as well as the second round of the NCAA tournament. But until then, ladies and gentlemen, if you like what you heard, tell your friends. If you didn't like what you hear, I hope opening day ends up being more wet than a raining bastard. Tell your enemies. But until then, I'll always remind them three things. One, Shohei Ohtani's getting paid. Two, Bobby Bonilla's getting paid. And three, there is always a teachable moment. And if you don't believe me, well, then hell, that's just a fact of life. Yeah.
Yeah.
Good night.